Hello, listeners. I'm Madeline Birdsell, and this is the inaugural episode of Conversations at Columbia, a podcast where we give you a sneak peek into the discussions Columbia students are having.
And I'm Ben Weaver. These conversations we plan to bring you to are as much as Columbian as 116th Street, alma mater, late night in Butler, complaining on Facebook, or
literature humanities. Hello, dear listener. I'm Artem Ulyanov, your third host for tonight. If you don't already know, literature humanities, or Lit Hum as we call it, is a class that's part of Columbia's core curriculum.
You might hear us call this curriculum the core for short. It was introduced about 100 years ago and has been a major part of the Columbia experience ever since.
No doubt. So much of my first year has been defined by the countless pages of reading I have to do.
Lit Hum is a difficult class, but doesn't it have a purpose behind it? You know, the core is originally marketed as an effort to deal with the quote-unquote insistent problems of the present. There are quite a few of those back in 19, and the 2020s haven't gotten off to an auspicious start either.
Yikes, that's true. But that's also a fair point. After all, the texts we read for the core are supposed to, and to quote from the university's website, enhance each student's understanding of main lines of literary and philosophical development that have shaped Western thought for nearly three millennia.
So do you think it's been able to do that?
Oh, for sure. The texts we grapple with in Lit Hum all explore different moral universes. When I've read them, I've immersed myself in these universes. But you know, Madeline, I can't say I found a clear connection to the present in them.
Yeah, that's totally fair. And I think a lot of other Columbia students probably feel the same way. But also, to let me be a bit contrarian here, I don't think it's necessary to connect these works in that sort of way. The goal of Lit Hum isn't to get us to take on the values in the works we're reading.
Oh yeah, I mean, if we did that, we'd end up as a combination of a zealous medieval Catholic, a 16th century Frenchman, a Greek warrior, a prudish Victorian.
You mean St. Augustine, Montaigne, Achilles, and Darcy?
Yeah. But there are so many other figures in these books who have outdated moral compasses.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's great to understand the values of the past, but I think Lit Hum's primary role is to look at literature as a medium, to look at how the works we're reading are able to reflect a society's values while at the same time upholding and creating them. I think it's super interesting to see the way those values have changed and evolved over time throughout our syllabus.
Your point is well taken, Madeline. But if immersing ourselves in these works isn't good for moral education, then what is it good for?
There's something else I've noticed when reading these works. As you said, when we read them, we travel through time and space and accompany warriors, travelers, religious converts, and heroes on their journeys, seeing them at their best and worst. Visiting these worlds as omniscient viewers with an understanding of their flaws and historical context is valuable. You know, I think when we do that, we can find a lot to empathize with in the characters we follow.
For sure. It's become cliché to say that all these works all get at a universal human experience. But it's not difficult to see ourselves in Augustine's spiritual crisis, Montaigne's self-reflection, Elizabeth's struggle against social mores, or Odysseus's epic journey home.
Yeah, I think that's right, Ben. And we can look at it at a more societal level, too. I see parts of our own struggles in things ranging from Dostoevsky's criticism of his ideological world to Job's suffering at the hands of God.
Ben, do you think Lit Hum is missing anything, though? I know you talked about wanting a clearer connection between the core and the present day.
I think that the curriculum needs to do more to live up to its billing as a means of addressing the insistent problems of the present. In particular, I think something constantly on the minds of Columbia students like ourselves is the issue of fulfillment. We all have a path almost set out for us, getting high grades, getting that well-paying job, but we never really seem to question if that's the way we ought to live our life.
Yeah, okay, but I think we see Confessions try to do just that. We see Augustine start off as a meritocratic climber, and then he grows disillusioned and finds what is truly valuable in life.
He does, although he does so through faith, and faith is less common these days, so a more directly 21st century approach to this issue is needed. I recently read the book Tuesdays with Rory by Mitch Albom, which I thought provided exactly that. It was written in 2000, so it's only like 20 years old.
Ben, that's older than we are.
Yes, I know, but you get the point. Anyways, the book is about the author's own life, which is really remarkable. 20 years after leaving college, he reunites with his dying college professor. In weekly meetings, Professor Mori passes his life's wisdom onto his former student. I think that this book addresses the question Madeline asked earlier. To what extent should our readings and inform the ways that we live our lives? The central question of the book is how are we to live? It also asks others, such as does someone's work define them? Where is true happiness found? And what's most important in life?
I can imagine that the gravity of its plot and the complexity of these questions make for a compelling book.
Yes, but another good feature of this book is that it addresses all of these ideas in a straightforward way. I think one of the flaws in Litt-Hum is a distance between us and the text often obfuscates their meaning. For this book, that would not be the case.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that the differences in language and time and culture between us and the book we read sometimes mean there's a large gap for us to bridge before we understand them in depth. Because this book is more modern, it would allow us to explore important questions without the interpretive confusion created by time and space. Also has strong connection to the Litt-Hum canon.
Like what?
Tuesdays with Morrie is much like many of our other stories. The story of someone coming of age. The story of a person learning their inner nature. The story of a person evaluating their own life. Like I was speaking about before, this book falls right in line with all the other books we have read. Just the story is set in modern times.
Yeah, that's a great point, Ben. And maybe I will read Tuesdays with Morrie after the semester ends. But I have another suggestion that I think would go even further in making Litt-Hum a little more relatable.
And what would that be?
Okay, hear me out on this one. I know it's a little out there, but I'm thinking a movie.
A movie in literature humanities?
Yes, yes, I know. But if we really think about it, there's already been a precedent in the curriculum. After all, we've read plays like Antigone and the Oresteia, and we even watched clips of them in class.
And I think you also mentioned that it's important to analyze the messages they send.
Yeah, exactly. And a film is increasingly more important today, so I think analyzing a film like The Wizard of Oz would really help us to engage with our more modern media.
For sure, but why The Wizard of Oz in particular?
Well, besides it being in a different format, it also covers themes we've been talking about all semester. It goes through the importance of family, the value of home, the contrast between good and evil. In a way, Dorothy is going on her own odyssey. We see her journey through obstacle after obstacle, all to get back home. We see the values of heart and intelligence embodied in the characters of the story, much like they were embodied by Mr. Ramsay and Mrs. Ramsay into the lighthouse. And all these themes are explored in a mystical way, just like in Don Quixote.
Definitely. The Wizard of Oz was one of my favorite stories growing up. While we're on the topic of American classics, though, how about American Pastoral?
What's that about?
Without going on for too long, American Pastoral is basically the life story of Seymour Lavab, who's essentially the ideal 20th century American man. He's a star football player, a successful businessman, a veteran. He marries well, gets a suburban house, and is essentially a metaphor for the American dream.
So what about all that do you think makes this book stand out?
What happens next? I don't want to run the risk of spoiling, but Seymour's perfect life basically falls apart. In particular, his daughter becomes a 1960s era political extremist. Through this event, the book explores themes ranging from artificiality to family to alienation. In many ways, it resembles Crime and Punishment. Litt-Hum is all about drawing a line between works from different periods, and I think drawing a line between 19th century Raskolnikov and 20th century Seymour Lavab would show us a lot. Besides that, I think American Pastoral explicitly deals with themes such as homecoming, like the Odyssey, critiques rigid social norms like Pride and Prejudice, and justice like the Oresteia. It's really a wide-ranging book that clearly draws on the literary tradition we've been exploring all year.
That does sound somewhat compelling.
Let me make it even more compelling then. Ben, I also think American Pastoral addresses your concerns about Litt-Hum not speaking to us clearly enough. After all, there are so many parallels to draw between the world of American Pastoral and the instability of our world today.
Right. American Pastoral really does seem to be a great book through which we can explore the, quote, insistent problems of the present. I think it would give us a really good chance to see how literature reflects value systems, too.
It's all well and good, but I'll remind you both again that Litt-Hum already has an enormous amount of text. So how are we going to have time for another book?
Well, yeah, you're right. I don't really think we do. If we're to add American Pastoral, we'll need to remove something currently on the syllabus. How about one of the Greek texts? I'm thinking maybe the Odyssey. It seems pretty redundant with the other works we've read.
I see that. Why the Odyssey in particular, though? The Emily Wilson translation is actually quite good, and the idea of a journey or homecoming is valuable.
I agree with Beth on this one. What if we remove the Iliad instead? I love military history, but the Iliad spends too much time on conflict for part of a literature curriculum.
Yeah, I agree with that. So, Iliad out, American Pastoral in?
Yep.
Sounds good.
Okay, so our new Litt-Hum curriculum is even more rich in values than it was before. Let's see what we have. The praise of piety, morality, and devotion in the Bible, and Augustine's Confessions.
A comical version of those values in Don Quixote, and so many of our works touch on glory and heroism.
Not to forget the importance of love and reason in Plato's Symposium, and the conflicts between family relations, tradition, and individual morality in the Oresteia and Antigone.
And now we get a more modern social and cultural critique in American Pastoral, Really, the crux of the book is an exploration of American society in the 60s, all of its flaws, social limitations, and values. And as we've been discovering all semester, critiquing individual and community values is a great way to learn about ourselves and who we are as human beings.
And just maybe we've stumbled across a Lit Hum curriculum that can make everyone happy.
I would not go that far, but it is a good Lit Hum curriculum, no doubt.
And it's been a great afternoon. Thank you all so much for tuning in to Conversations at Columbia. We know that the conversation over the Lit Hum curriculum will never end, but unfortunately, this podcast has to. Until next time.